Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton, producing today. Jay Moore will be back with us next week at some point. Excited to see Jay. Something came up, and we will talk to Bird another time. We are loaded, though. So much to get to. Practice was open. Practice was at Memorial Stadium. You've seen tidbits and thoughts come out, and the big takeaway today, Javon McQuitty and his injury. I'll have some thoughts on that here shortly in 15 minutes, so we don't disrupt golf. Gary Barnett will be with us, longtime coach of Colorado and Northwestern, and national college football analyst. So Coach Barney will be with us in 15 minutes and get his thoughts. Some things I took away from practice is the running game, the running backs. You know, the run game is a point of emphasis, and it has been, will always be for Nebraska fans. But how about backs out of the backfield? Think of Roger Craig and his Niners career, Rathman, those guys catching the ball and messing with the linebacker. We'll talk to Coach Barnett about that because he ran the West Coast for a number of years, and you know, how advantageous can this be if it's real, if it's a real thing where Nebraska can just, you know, work out opposing defenses. So we'll talk to Coach Barnett about that. Joe Tessitore, legendary voice, college football and boxing. And Joe Tess is going to be at PBA a week from Saturday for Crawford Ndongo. And we'll talk to Joe Tessitore about the upcoming fight between Ndongo and Nebraska's own Bud Crawford. Joe Tess in 1 hour from now. Also, we'll sneak in some college football with Joe Tessitore. And also, how about Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity? Dr. Petey will join us, get his thoughts on practice, get his thoughts on camp. Numbers to get in today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Well, things opened up after practice, and as you get to practice, you wonder who's out there, who's not out there, who's working with the ones, who's working with the twos, a slew of things when it comes to practice. And Coach Langsdorf and Mikhail Wilbon was great to listen to today, so we'll have some of that for you. Coach Kavanaugh, man, I just love listening to him talk about his fellas on the O-line. It'd be cool to listen to him talk about O-line and football over a two-inch-thick prime rib or something. Maybe that'll happen someday. But here's Coach Riley, injury update, Javon McQuitty, done for the year, and that is a blow.
Maybe. Doing a little blocking drill the other day, and Javon McQuitty hurt his knee and will need surgery. So he will be out for the year. And then we have, these guys will be back, but they pulled muscles. So we're missing a couple slot backs right now, too. Keon Williams and J.D. Spielman.
Okay, so there was Coach Riley. There's the rundown. No more Javon McQuitty. How big of a deal is that if you're Nebraska football? And listen, there's no depth chart right now, and you have guys kind of working their way through. What you have with Nebraska football is an offense that wants to throw the football and needs as many talented bodies to get it done. What do you have? You have Stanley, you have Pearsonell, you have Reimers, you have some tight ends, you have Gabron. Those are guys with experience. So was it a major ask to expect or anticipate a guy like Javon McQuitty seeing time? I don't think so, because he's an early enrollee. He's a guy Coach Williams went after hard and got I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear tapes of myself fawning over what Javon McQuitty looked like, but they're out there because the guy was 6'1 and just a beast. And that was the first thing I took away when things opened up for fall camp. The guy's monstrous. And he's not going to be able to be a part of it this year for Nebraska. Coach Langsdorf had a reaction to losing McQuitty. And you wish McQuitty the best. And on Twitter, we retweeted, you know, his reaction to this. And very, very simple. I'll be back. And there's video floating out of Nebraska's second team punt returner, Gerald Foster, to get the guys out of practice early. And I saw McQuitty in that video. And he was there with his jersey on and had a brace on his right knee. Coach Riley didn't go into further detail on the injury. But when it comes to impacting the offense, what Nebraska wants to do, throwing the football, how big a loss is Javon McQuitty? And I think it's a big loss. You don't necessarily, maybe not would have felt his impact early in the year. But guys keep getting better, keep getting more comfortable. There's a higher level of understanding, absolutely. And then the execution part of it. They always say the beautiful cliche, well, they're not freshmen anymore. Well, that's true. When you have a guy like McQuitty that could have come in and made some plays. And he's a guy that has the ability and the skill set and the size to be a matchup problem and be an option for Nebraska wherever they wanted to put him on the field. Nebraska does not pigeonhole guys when it comes to body type. They'll put a guy wherever they want to put him in the name of finding the best matchup, hence the amount of attention paid today to backs in the passing game. That was a topic of discussion. So can Nebraska overcome the loss of McQuitty? The short answer is yes, but the bigger answer or thought I have is what could have been this first year. And look, to draw an example, is Stanley Morgan Jr. Stan came in as a freshman and got some time and did well because he's really good. And that's another guy that Stanley was mentoring. So you lose that on field too. So McQuitty's a guy that you don't have. You don't have Keyshawn, obviously. So what do you have at wide receiver? Well, you have a number of slot guys you can look at. Now, Spielman was out. Kyan Williams was out. But you have some smaller, quick in space body types. Not that those guys can't work a spot on the field similar to McQuitty, but McQuitty's a guy they could have put on the outside, they can put on the inside, they can do whatever, and they could have found some plays against opponents that he could have thrived in, and he could have absolutely contributed and been a problem for a defense. Is he number one receiver? No. Is he a number two receiver? No. Could he have worked his way into the three role though? That Stanley had while you had Alonzo and Westy here and Riley. It's about trying to just pulverize defenses and spreading them out, and the more weapons you can have, the better. So this is a loss, and McQuitty was in the running to do some of those things. Here is Coach Riley, cut two here, when it comes to how they're trying to react to it, to deal with the injuries, and this is Nebraska's plan of attack moving forward.
We're going to make some acquisitions off of the waiver wire.
Right.
We're being very thoughtful now. We have actually, losing a couple of guys, we brought some other guys that are on the team that weren't allowed in the 105. We brought them in, and that's been good for us. It saved us numbers-wise. It's a very difficult balance because you need all the parts to practice all the complete game. Puts you in a little bit of a bind. It's always the receivers, it seems like, every year. We try to do everything we can to prevent it. You know, and Javon's deal has nothing to do with that. It was a real freaky blocking drill, just like this, and I don't know what happened.
Well, there is kind of a rundown of what happened, and Riley gave you the picture of you know, as a blocking drill, you're engaging with the corner, and something just didn't work out well. Here's Danny Langsdorf's reaction to the McQuitty loss for the Nebraska offense?
Good stuff from him. I was really, it's really unfortunate, you know, anytime you had a setback like that on any player. I thought he was, you know, for a true freshman that has been here for a short time, I really was pleased with how he was progressing. I don't think he was going to go in there and start, but he was definitely in the conversation of playing. So that's unfortunate, and we'll have to just hope for the best and get him back as quickly as we can. But he was having a good camp.
Having a great camp and a really good player. Other thing that came out of camp today, one, McQuitty injury, two, quarterback. Are you sold? Are you set? Are you comfortable with who's number two? I don't even like to go down that road, not that it's fairy tale land here, but the thought of not having Tanner Lee for Nebraska this year would be, well, it's time to buy Jack Daniels on special or overpriced if you're a Nebraska fan if you don't have Tanner Lee. You'll buy Jack Daniels anyway. God love you. But there'll be a different purpose for using it. There's celebratory. There is anguish. There's two different ways to do it. But who's behind Tanner Lee? And the pecking order, you would think, is O'Brien and Jebbia. That's not the case, though. It's not set. It's still open. You don't believe me? Well, here's Danny.
Not totally clear. I think those guys, being as young as they are, they make rookie mistakes. You know, they've really got a lot of similar reps, and it's very close that way. So it's not clear cut. They both have had kind of their days. They've both had good days, and then they've had some freshman blunders. So we just got to keep giving them work. But I like where they're at. I just, you know, they have to be a little bit more consistent day to day.
Okay. Be good all the time. Do it now. Or it's laps. Now, watching those quarterbacks throw the football, man, and from a drill standpoint, there'll be some one-on-ones, there'll be some seven-on-sevens, and then they scrimmaged, obviously, and I think Lee only had like two incompletions, and he put some throws on a rope, especially to Hoppus, in the 20-play scrimmage earlier today. All that said, when I watch the drills and I watch the quarterbacks, I get a sense of high level of comfort from a guy like Jebbia. I mean, there's no deer in headlights. There's immediate reaction to where he wants to go with the football. And he gets it there. And you can have the arm wrestling match, and it's kind of been, I think Greg Smith brought it up on Twitter, arm strength isn't that important, and go ask Joe Montana, because that's why he was a late-round pick. No, I'm not comparing Jebbia to Joe. I don't know if Tristan likes chicken soup. Okay, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking if push came to shove and you had to go with the quarterback at number two, who do you want? And the answer is, who's going to win football games for me if I'm a Nebraska fan? But right now, as it looks, Jebbia's not. There's no gap between Jebbia and O'Brien. At least when I'm watching drills, all I hear about Jebbia is the guy, I think he has a cot for the film room. So when it comes to off-field study habits, he is second to no one. O'Brien, though, I will say this, that dude has grown into his body. He looks much, much thicker, yes, than Jebbia, but he looks just thicker and more defined after being in the program for a year or so. He enrolled early too, by the way. But his throws are just, they're darts. And they look good. And there's some oomph. It's a fastball. But it's catchable. The thing that's nice about Jebbia, is there as much heat on his throws? No. Does it maybe take a half second longer to get on those deep outs there? Yeah. But it's not, you know, Peyton at age 40 on an out route where you're saying, pull! It's not a quacker. There's still a tight spiral on it. The thing that's impressive with Jebbia, though, is just the poise, the calmness, and he knows where to go with the football. But O'Brien also today and throughout campus put some nice touch on throws. All quarterbacks have done a great job of finding open windows. That said, the defense has had their they're licking their chops moments, too, on some of the blitzes. Offensive line, that's kind of point three about practice for me. And don't ask Cav about the old center quarterback cut 16 exchange battle, because that's one thing that was kind of an issue, and it was both guys screwing it up.
I mean, you watch it, so we got to keep working on it. We got to get that ball up. Two-way streak, right? Both of us are involved. We got to get it going.
He's locked in, man. All he needs is a bag of beech nut, a camo hat, and some eye black. Kavanaugh's locked in for sure. Bo Wilson got some time. We have time for cut 11. Okay, here's Bo Wilson. He got some time with the number ones. Langsdorf explained it as that he needed some reps, but we asked Cav about it.
He's improving, you know. He still has to continue to learn the system. Athletically, he's very athletic, you know. Continue to grow in technique as well. We have a big system, so he's got a lot. He's going to keep growing.
They are all about them, some athletic linemen. We will get into that. More from practice today. How big a loss is McQuitty? Massive? Minimal? Somewhere in between? I think it's somewhere in between. He could have enhanced his offense with his skill set. We'll talk college football. Gary Barnett shortly. Steve Peterson has a book coming out. I will tell you about that. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Time to talk a little college football. Let's get caught up with Gary Barnett, former coach, Colorado, Northwestern. And we're getting him out on the driving range. Coach, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Standing next to Bob Church's great Cornhusker quarterback. We're hitting balls and enjoying a good day here in Boulder.
Well, that is good. How's Bob hit him?
Bob's a really good player, but he just torn his rotator cuff and his biceps tendon and had surgery on September the 7th. So he's going to be out for 6 months. Now I'm going to try to play him when he's out, and that way I can beat him.
There you go. Coach, we're getting closer to college football, and earlier today had open practice for Nebraska. They had a scrimmage, and, you know, typical camp thoughts with – you know, where they're at, and it's a longer period of camp. But one thing I wanted to focus on and touch on today with you, and you know it because of the offenses you ran, was the running back out of the backfield. Nebraska really hasn't settled. They're trying to find a guy to kind of emerge as the go-to. That said, with this offense with Lee, with what Riley and Langsdorf want to do, it sounds like it'll be extremely prominent in this offense. And I wanted to tap into your expertise about just what it can do to defenses, not only in the Big Ten, but in non-conference. How effective can that element be for Nebraska this season, do you think? And what did you love about it in your offenses?
Well, I'll tell you what, it can be big. It's huge. You just look at Colorado last year. Their third leading receiver was a running back. And, you know, it's probably one of the most difficult receiving positions to cover. And so, and not only that, but once you get the ball in the hands of one of those guys, they know how to run them. They do it for a living. And so it's a great weapon against defenses these days. I think anybody that's interested in going to the NFL, if they're a recruit, they need to look someplace where they can be thrown the ball out of the backfield, because that's such a critical skill that all pro scouts are looking for now. So I think it's that and running the quarterback with a lead blocker are the two things that really make it tough on defenses. You know, I mean, defenses are already in trouble with all the spread stuff, but when you add a third down and short package or a red zone package with the quarterback running the ball behind a running back, you get an extra blocker that way, and then getting the ball to the back out of the backfield now, to a guy that can catch it in almost any situation, You've got a huge advantage, I think, offensively when you can do those two things.
Gary Barnett's with us. Few minutes here talking college football. Hail Varsity Radio, Coach. The receiving game going to be emphasized, and with your scheme, what you wanted to do, and one of the running backs was talking to us, Mikhail Wilbon, really talented guy, and he kind of opened up about just the option routes they have based on formation. That's not new, but give us a little bit of your history, specifically what you asked your backs to do. Did you have option routes in there based on what the defense was giving you, what coverage there was?
Well, we did. In a couple of our offenses, we did. Some of our offenses, we did.
Right.
In the last year, since going to Colorado in 1999, we were a West Coast offense, which is, of course, what Mike is rooted in there at Nebraska. But they've expanded it quite a bit now to where it's also more shotgun and one back oriented. But it's still, everybody uses the same numbering system and the same route calls and that sort of stuff. And again, it takes a guy who understands the pass game, and I'm talking about a running back, mm-hmm. that can run the option routes. Not everybody can run those. And again, it's one of those things that they do a lot of in the NFL.
Sure.
And if that's a skill that you can acquire in college, it's just a plus. So if you're in an offense that runs that, it's a big advantage. But again, option routes are based on just getting the guy open. And when you get a guy that can catch the ball, they can also run with it like most running backs can, then it's an advantage. So we always work a lot of option routes, and it takes a lot of timing on those sort of things. And it takes protection. And then the back's got to know when he goes from an option route to a hot route. Because when they bring more guys and they can block, many times the back is the hot receiver. So he's got to know, he's got to read defenses, he's got to know when a certain player comes on a blitz or after the quarterback that he's got to cut his route off and that sort of stuff. So it takes a lot of time. Fortunately, with no two-a-days in 5 weeks, they got a lot of time to work on that kind of stuff.
What can the tight end and running back out of the backfield element do for the guys that are in the slot or guys that are split out wide? I mean, how the trickle-down, so to speak, of this air attack that Riley can have with Lee kind of pulling the trigger with it. I mean, how big a headache can it be if it's everything's working like you just touched on for defenses? Can it do big things in the Big Ten is what I'm asking, because it is a different offense than Nebraska's run, and it's kind of what Michigan's doing, at least, the pro style. But those are about the only two teams that come to mind that are running it.
Well, you get a lot of big linebackers in the Big Ten, big sturdy guys, and so anytime that you can put an athlete like a good tight end, usually an undersized tight end, then he's just like a bigger wide receiver, maybe not quite so fast, but nimble enough to get open and stuff. So you can now throw routes against their worst defenders, and that's what you do with the backs and the tight ends. The guys on the corner and the safeties, they're born to cover receivers. So you always have tough matchups there, generally. But where you get the mismatch is with tight ends and running backs against linebackers. And you always want to run against linebackers rather than nickelbacks, because nickelbacks are just another corner stuck in there. So you want to get that mismatch if you can. And anymore, that's what a lot of football is about, is creating the matchups that you want rather than the matchups that they want.
Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Coach Barnett, kind enough to give us a few minutes between tea times and the driving range and then the rib smoking that's going to go on. That'll be good. We'll get to that. I needed to ask you about linemen. What type of premium did you place on athletic linemen? Coach Cav is extremely happy with this group as far as some of their traits. They are a very athletic group. He likes the group. They got to work on some things, obviously. That'll be key for Nebraska to be balanced. But he loves the athleticism. Was that something you really went after, getting those offensive linemen that were just freak athletes?
Well, what we try to do Christmas, we'd take as many defensive linemen as we could and then move some of them over to offense. Because they were always, for the most part, better athletes than some of your offensive linemen straight out of high school. So, you know, you get a little more athletic. We would sacrifice height for athleticism.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think that's changed. I think when you're trying to do the things that Mike Riley's doing, the West Coast stuff, then I think it really puts a premium on athletic offensive linemen as opposed to necessarily the big, great big hogs that you get in some offense.
Coach Barnett, wanted to get your thoughts here, and we'll catch up again on a couple of teams, i.e. Bama and Florida State. They will touch gloves and kick off college football here in a few weeks. And Florida State, I know Francois is back. I know they were pretty young on the offensive line. Could they scare Bama, or do you think Bama is still angry about Clemson and they'll come out with guns a-blazing?
No, I think it's a new season. They're not thinking about Clemson. But, you know, ESPN lists the top 25 athletes in the country, and I think Florida State had 5 of the first 10, and probably 3 of the others were Alabama guys. So you're going to see maybe the two of the three more athletic football teams and with more good players than there is in the country. So that matchup is just classic. I admire both of them for playing each other. I think it's just a great kickoff game. If that doesn't get your juices going for college football, I don't know what does. So you're going to see great players. You're going to see good coaching. You know, it's the first game, so you're going to have mistakes. Whoever makes the least mistakes probably win the game. But what a great matchup. And it's one of those games that you can lose and still play for the national championship because of the quality of the opponent and the time of the year that you play.
All right, last thought here before we talk PGA. ESPN did a feature, and they asked a number of coaches, what's the weirdest thing you ever autographed? Okay, and I think the story came out a couple days ago, and it's hilarious. Yeah, some poor guy had a prosthetic he took off for Coach Bielema to sign down at Arkansas.
Yep.
You have a snowplow that was offered to be signed. An Ohio State fan wanted Urban Meyer to sign a snowplow. And then Coach Leach had what he said is the biggest bra he's ever seen he had to sign. What's the weirdest, craziest thing you had to sign or even refused to sign?
Well, I signed a bra strap in Iowa. We just, the plane had just landed. We'd gotten out of the bus and we're walking in, and this lady asked me to sign the top of her bra strap. And so I made sure there was a lot of witnesses around when I did, but I did sign it. But I'd say the hardest thing to sign is a golf ball. There's no way you can get your true signature on a golf ball. So that's the hardest thing.
Have you been practicing that part of it?
No, I don't sign very many golf balls.
So
they don't stay with me long enough.
Right. Okay. Was this when you were playing Iowa, or was it Iowa State?
It was at Iowa.
Okay. Well, that had to be a pleasant welcome to Iowa, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I just did what I, you know,
do. You were just polite. I get it. Who's taking down the PGA this weekend?
It's hard to go against Spieth.
Yeah.
He's got so much momentum. But I still, you know, that course is set up for the longest hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the favorite is McIlroy going in because of that. You know, he hasn't been able to quite keep his head in the game long enough, or he doesn't get it in there soon enough.
Right.
He's done. So, you know, I don't know about that one, but, you know, there's so many good guys. Koepka is playing great golf, and he, you know, those kind of courses sort of play to his game. Spieth, I think, just emotionally, got to go with him. But I'd say one of those three guys.
Gary Barnett with us, the coach, Colorado Northwestern, Sports USA, and the Buffs Radio Network. Coach, we'll run you down in a couple of weeks. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later.
Good stuff from Coach Barnett. We will discuss the bra strap he signed against the Hawkeyes and more college football.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Your chance coming up. Salt Dogs tickets also. How about Rib Fest tickets? Chris Schmidt And Colton Stone is hanging out. Thanks to Gary Barnett. That was fun, kind of funny about the old bra strap. The craziest thing Coach Barnett ever signed in reference to the ESPN story about weird autographs and items autographed. Joe Tessitore is coming up in 25 minutes. Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com. Shortly, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Sauter Heyman, how about Rick and your friends? Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? Beauty and sustainability and savings. 10 to 40% off those traditional earth-mined diamonds when you go and look at those pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer. See why they're some of the biggest and best sellers. Maybe it's birthday or anniversary around the corner for you and the lovely wife. Take her to Sauter Heyman today, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, Rod Weston, Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Okay, from the book club, you have some friends that are in book clubs. Maybe you do. Got a couple of buddies that they get together a couple of times a month and they're in a book club. They're really just drinking beer or whiskey or something awesome. But they mask it as being in a book club, which is fine. I'm not judging. It's all good. I'm probably signed up for 7 book clubs, so I'm not home during the week. If you left it up to my wife. And then there are books you're interested in. Brandon Vogel's book, for instance, with Coach Cook. Got to get it. But I got to ask you about this. Steve Peterson, former Nebraska athletic director, former AD at Pitt twice, now author. I have not seen this book. Bill Dolman's with us tomorrow, and you know how much he loves Steve Peterson and vice versa. I wonder what the back looks like. I mean, don't judge the cover, don't judge the back, judge the contents in the book. But what type of author shot do we have? Do we got the full Roger Sterling going, where you look distinguished? Do you have the bad 80s actor, where your eyes are wide and you have this kind of creepy smile? I'm wondering, is it a turtleneck pose? Or do you go turtleneck and the old patch sport coat, the corduroy sport coat? Those are sweet. But authors can tend to pull them off better with the sport coat. And has he gone goatee or beard with pipe? I don't know. But here's what you have. Steve Peterson, the author, now a writer. And it's... my God, it's been out 9 days. It's titled Lost in Ambition. That's a good title. It's the story of a young college football coach that compromises his morals, his family, and his upbringing to rise up the coaching profession. Paperbacks on Amazon for $13. Yeah, I just did a plug for Steve Peterson. It's written from the perspective of a former Division I athletic director, lost in ambition. We'll take you inside and look at a coach, his family, as they embark on a quest for ultimate prize. Okay. So, I need to read this thing. And how much fiction is it? That's what I'm wondering. How dirty, I mean, you know, names are changed to protect the innocent or guilty. That'd be okay. Lost in ambition. Who do you think it sounds about? When I say the story of a young college football coach that compromises his morals, his family, his upbringing. Who is brought up in a football family? Who's had his family kind of take off on him? Who is morally questionable? We all are. not perfect. I get that. I saw this on Twitter. I want to give credit to Sam McEwen because he was, I don't know if he's seen it or he's seen a review about it. But here is the Twitter passage that is quite good. When it comes to, and you hear stories about what goes on when coaches are on the road recruiting. And that's, it's strenuous on the family. The coach is seen as a villain, shockingly enough. And this from what Sam said in chapter two, the coach takes his 20 tickets allotted for family and sells them for money to pay off his mistress's apartment and trips. Usually, the coach may just steal money from the school's football campus to pay for his mistress. There you go. Is that, hey, I'm Steve Peterson. I've been around college athletics. Poof, this is in my head. Let's just make it up. Or were there several examples through his career in college athletics that he saw this? Again, how fictitious is this? You know what? Who cares? Entertaining read. And we'll see if it hits Lars Anderson sales numbers ever. Not likely. Okay, here's what we got. College football next hour. Derek Peterson of Hale Varsity. Get his thoughts on practice. Get his thoughts on Nebraska moving forward without McQuitty. Derek is a guy that is just super talented, and he's covered Oklahoma football. He's now covering Nebraska, obviously, for us with Hale Varsity. I'd love his take, because he got here when camp started. I'd love to get caught up with him, and we will, to see what he thinks about Nebraska's progression. Joe Tessitore, just tremendous talent, play-by-play man for ABC, ESPN, college football, and boxing. He is going to be covering and obviously doing the play-by-play for Nebraska as Fight Night comes back to the state of Nebraska, but it is at Pinnacle Bank Arena for Ndongo and Crawford a week from Saturday. Joe Tess going to be on the call for that. We're early with him, but better late than not at all. God love him. So Joe Tess will give us his thoughts on Ndongo, Crawford, and some college football. Let's get you hooked up here with HaleVarsity.com. Some great recruiting stuff out there from Greg Smith. A six-month online subscription, yours right now. Caller 4, caller 5, right now. A six-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience. Great message board community, inside info, recruiting updates, breaking news right there for you. HaleVarsity.com, caller 4, caller 5, right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 4, caller 5, a six-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com, caller 4, caller 5, right now, 466-3776.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Gary Barnett this hour, former coach, Colorado Northwestern. His thoughts on the Riley offense, specifically when it comes to running backs. In the passing game, good thoughts from Coach Barney. Joe Tessitore is with us in 10 minutes. His thoughts on Ndongo and Crawford and some college football. Derek Peterson shortly with HaleVarsity.com. Some chances for you. We might do some Salt Dog tickets here shortly. Good stuff from Jacob Padilla. When it comes to wideouts for Nebraska on the 105, you have Reimers, you have Ron, you have Connor Young, Brett Clausen, Darlington, Chafin, Hottis, and Banker. These are walk-on wideouts on the 105. Those are the walk-on wideouts from the 105. And some of these walk-ons are going to have to step forward. You've seen Reimers. You know, Ron's there. Connor Young's got good size. Really, all of these dudes. need to find a spot in the zone. That's what I'm saying. Let's spend a few more minutes on Nebraska. And let's talk a little bit about the quarterback race for number two. Again, we asked if there was a clear number two, and Langsdorf said, not sure. But cut six here on Jebbia. What's Tristan doing that's impressive but also shows some of his youth?
I thought he did some good things. He had he got a snake bit a little bit on a route that was too deep, so it was not timed, and it's a timed play, so it looked bad. But a lot of that was the depth of the receiver. I thought he did some good things in the red zone. You know, like I said, they both have had their moments where, you know, he and Patrick have been really good at times and then have made some freshman errors at times.
That is where Jebby is at. Also, Patrick in the mix there. And really, how's camp going for Tanner? He's your one. You just had thoughts there on Jebbia from Langsdorf. Here is, you know, Tanner. How are things going for him? I still think he throws a great ball, obviously. Can that translate to X number of wins in this offense?
Pretty good. There's been a few things that we got to clean up, making sure we, you know, even from the quarterback center exchange, and which really falls on the center and the quarterback, but he's part of that battery. I think he's done a nice job of playing fast and making good decisions for the most part. There's been a couple plays that we need some work on. You know, overall, he's a consistent worker. He's really steady. He's the same guy every day. He comes to work ready to go. So I've been pleased with that.
A couple of throws today that were impressive, as you have Lee dropping back. Things are starting to collapse from the outside. Kind of maneuvers around in the pocket, steps up, puts a great throw that was dropped in the back of the end zone. This was some red zone work. But also his ability to throw to a spot, even though there's a thousand arms and hands up in front of him. He still just kind of keeps focus where it's at. Those were some things that impressed me. Joe Tessitore is coming up. ESPN, ABC, broadcaster extraordinaire. Caller 5 now. Caller 5 for those Salt Dog tickets. 466-3776. 466-3776-800. 825-5865. Caller 5, a VIP set of Salt Dog tickets for you. And caller 5 makes it happen. 466-3776-800. 825-5865. Joe Tessitore next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Coach Gary Barnett in Hour 1. Derek Peterson to talk all things Nebraska as fall camp is underway. We start off Hour 2, though, with broadcasting icon with ABC and ESPN. He will be at Pinnacle Bank Arena for the Crawford and Dongo fight. With ESPN. Joe Tessitore is with us here on Hail Varsity. Joe, thanks for giving us a few minutes tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's always a real pleasure for me to talk to the sports fans out that way, because I've had so much respect for Nebraska fans for so many years with all the college football I've done. But what a thrill now that Terrence Crawford is your hometown hero and you're sitting on the possibility of having the first undisputed champion in boxing we've seen now in 12 years.
That is on the table for Bud and Ndongo, and you've been here a lot for football. You've seen a lot of Nebraska games, but to have this opportunity down in the rail yard in Lincoln and Pinnacle Bank Arena is incredible. And Joe, you've done so much boxing here, and you've covered the biggest and best fights the last several years. As you're a little more than a week out with this matchup Saturday night, what are your initial thoughts here on both fighters, and I guess your excitement level from a standpoint of being able to call something like this?
Well, listen, I'm thrilled to call the fight, and especially because it's where it is. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one thing that boxing needs to get back to, is the way it always was having a guy, a great superior athlete, grow up and be able to fight in front of his hometown fans and not spend 15 years of his career being pulled out to Vegas and in a sterile environment of a casino arena. Instead, to have Bud fighting there with a chance to make history with all the locals there, as you know, I mean, the Red Ends are going to be out in force, I'm sure, and I think he's been the thing I love about him, too, is he's been very loyal to Omaha and Nebraska and Lincoln as well. So I think everybody at ESPN is very excited. I know everybody at Top Rank is very excited. And this is as legitimate of a unification fight as you can have. Because in facing Ndongo, you have one of the true rarities that we see in the sport. It is not often. Now, he's a guy that's grown up in Africa, and he ran his record undefeated to 20-0. But it is very, I mean very rare, to see a fighter go on the road to a champion's hometown and win decisively a first-round knockout in Russia to claim a belt. And then, instead of having a couple title defenses and milking it and cashing some checks or maybe bringing back the title to your home country and having a lesser kind of opponent and a celebratory coming home for a champion, he goes on the road to Scotland, to Ricky Burns, a more veteran, experienced world champion, and destroys him too. And now, for the third consecutive fight, this guy Ndongo is willing to globetrot and go to a champion's hometown and put it all on the line. So to me, this is as good as you can get to have four belts on the line.
Scotland, Russia, Lincoln, Nebraska. I mean, it's got to be a wish
list. Connect those
dots. Yeah. I think so. Ndongo, though, from a momentum standpoint, both fighters obviously have it, but from his road show, I mean, he's got to feel pretty confident coming in. Would you think?
He does, and this is very interesting, but last week when Teddy Atlas and I were out in Los Angeles to do the Lomachenko world title fight, the day before our entire production crew gathered, we were at the Intercontinental Hotel, and we asked to spend some time with Bud Crawford, who at Top Rank had flown in to sit ringside for some promotional duties for the fight. And Ndongo has flown stateside now to prep for this title fight. So he was there in L.A. Well, we met with Ndongo, and then a half an hour later, as we're wrapping up that conversation, in comes Bud. So we were with the two fighters as they met for the first time. And I'm going to tell you something about Ndongo. He is a tall, big guy for a junior welterweight. When you work in the boxing business, you have a guy, you have an idea, you have the eye for what somebody's walk-around size and weight is. You can size somebody up as they're in, you know, just walking down a hallway, and you can say, that's a light heavyweight, that's a middleweight, that's a welterweight, that's a lightweight. When Ndongo walked down the hall, I didn't know it was him because that looked like a middleweight to me. Mm-hmm. He's tall. He has broad shoulders. He carries weight. How this guy gets down to 140 pounds is beyond me. He's just under 6 foot tall. He's going to have a clear height advantage against Bud. He looks a little bigger in the upper body. Now, the one thing is, he's not even close to being as talented as Bud Crawford is. In my eyes, Terrence Crawford is knocking on that door of being the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. He is that supremely talented. These are the kind of fights that define you. These are the kind of fights that set forth your legacy. You put that big notch in the belt. Being an undisputed four-belt title holder, that's the stuff in recent years of only guys like Bernard Hopkins. You know, this is a whole different league that Bud could be in with a win, you know, come next Saturday.
When you look at Ndongo and his style and some of his strengths, you mentioned the height and his reach and his foot speed. His weaknesses, though, just kind of watching a little bit here, some accuracy, some inside game, and the fact that how do you defend, kind of map your blueprint out defensively for Crawford, because he can switch hit on you.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, that's the answer, and that's why nobody has, you know, and that's why you sit there and you look at 31-0 with 22 knockouts, because when you can do it any which way, which Bud can, it's a tough puzzle to solve. Now, I went through some of the physical attributes of Ndongo. The one thing that you can't see with a fighter like this that I would say is top on the list is confidence. When you haven't lost, you're extremely confident. When you've gone on the road for two straight fights and has won the way he has won, you're extremely confident. So he's not going to, and then consider where he grew up, the Civil War he survived, the loss of his father, the sickness he had as a teenager, the broken hand before the Olympics. This guy has faced adversity every step of the way. He's going to have great respect for Bud Crawford, but he is not going to fear Bud Crawford, and he's not going to be impacted by that crowd. What he's going to be impacted by is the fact that Terrence Bud Crawford is a superior overall fighter. He's more skilled than Ndongo is. He's flat out better than he is, as will be the case for almost any fighter Crawford fights between now and 140 pounds for the course of the next year to a couple of years, to if he goes up to 147 pounds and finds a couple big cash money super fights there. I think that's going to be the case for Bud over the course of two weight classes, that he, the current one he's in, and then at 147 pounds as well.
Joe Tessitore with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, talking Crawford and Ndongo, as Joe will be on the call for ESPN. You know, the fight of the week from Saturday down at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln. It's going to be incredible. Joe, when you look at Bud and his traits, he can unify all four like you were talking about the first time in 12 years. What trait or attribute is most impressive to you that he possesses?
Well, the ability to switch hit and for there to be no weakness.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of guys in our business that could be switch hitters, that could go, you know, between the orthodox stance and the southpaw stance. There are a few guys that can do it and still knock you out. He is just dangerous with either hand. It doesn't matter. He's as well-balanced and fully evolved of a boxer as we have in this generation. And strangely enough, as much attention as Floyd Mayweather continues to get, especially with this farce of an entertainment event he's putting forth on August 26th that is not a competitive world-class boxing event. We are actually right now, right here, in the midst of what I think is going to be a golden age of the sport, and Bud Crawford has a lot to do with it. But when you look at Andre Ward, when you look at Gennady Golovkin and Bud and Vasily Lomachenko, who we saw last week on ESPN, and Canelo Alvarez and all the welterweights with Thurman and Errol Spence, we are really sitting here in what is comparable to what we had in the early and mid-1980s between the junior welterweights, and middleweight division all the way to Marvin Hagler. And Mayweather has nothing to do with that conversation.
No, he doesn't. And you mentioned the McGregor-Floyd spectacle that'll be going on here towards the end of August. I wanted to ask you, not to get ahead of Crawford and Ndongo, because this is going to be phenomenal. It'll be a fantastic event, and Crawford will have so much red in the stands, right? But
oh, yeah.
The topic of Pacquiao, do you think that ever gets done?
I do. I think we're going to get a Pacquiao-Jeff Horn rematch on one of our networks in November. That'll be back in Australia is the word that we're hearing. And then I think if Pacquiao simply remedies that and avenges that controversial loss in Australia, I think a move to 147 pounds and a passing of the torch moment of the great, grand, older, eight-division champion well into the autumn of his career against the in-his-prime, pound-for-pound, and at that point, I think Bud will probably be the number one-ranked pound-for-pound fighter in the world, of defeating Manny Pacquiao next year at 147 pounds and reigning supreme in that division for the course and remainder of your career is a perfect fit and a realistic master plan for Crawford.
That is something to be excited about. Joe Tessitore is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Bud Crawford and Ndongo, and Joe will be on the call, obviously, on ESPN. Joe, about 90 seconds to 2 minutes here, a thought on college football. And man, you are the voice of college football with ABC,
yes.
ESPN, of course, primetime Saturdays and the college football playoff on top of everything else you do. Are you pretty jacked about this season? Do you think it's going to be a special season? You have the opener, obviously, with Bama in Florida State. Around here, Nebraska is cranking up and getting ready for their 2017 season. Do you think this could be one of those special seasons?
Well, I'm always excited to see what Mike Riley's up to, and I had the thrill of calling the Nebraska-Wisconsin overtime game last year, and I think this season could shape up much the same for the Cornhuskers. When I look down, and I know we're hearing good reports out of Tanner Lee, and obviously a very talented receiver with Stanley Morgan and Pearsonell. But I think the beginning of the season could be another run towards undefeated until you get to those real big home tests in October. So I could see things shaping up much like they did last year. And then how do the Cornhuskers define themselves when challenged in midseason? You grab Wisconsin. Now, I know Cicci, the linebacker's now out for a year. That's a big loss for Wisconsin. Ohio State, I think, is going to be excellent this year. I think with the fully developed passing game, I think JT Barrett's going to look like a different level quarterback, not the limited passing offense we saw at the end of last year. I think their defensive line is as good as there is in the country. But what I love about the sport this year is we've got top-notch quarterbacks everywhere you look, and I think there's really good balance to all the Power Five conferences. So it's going to be very interesting to see. If you ask me right now and you said, hey, when you and Todd Blackledge are getting ready to call the Sugar Bowl and the college football playoff, and Fowler and Herbie are out there in Pasadena getting ready to call the Rose Bowl, who are the four teams you see in there? I would honestly tell you right now, I like Alabama and Florida State in a rematch of opening week in the Sugar Bowl. And then I think Ohio State and the Washington Huskies, with that easy non-conference schedule, and they wouldn't have to meet USC until the Pac-12 title game, but those would be my four teams in the college football playoff.
That's a good call. I think Bama and I think Florida State could see each other twice. You're right on. I think Ohio State's going to be tremendous. Interested to see how year three is for Harbaugh. And who else? I mean, Auburn, you know, they still get
Auburn's
a shot at Bama.
Offense is going to be very good. They're going to be a very, very good offense.
Auburn will be something to keep an eye on. And, Joe, a thought here. You've done a lot of games, too, where you've had a chance to see, I think back to the 2013 season where Notre Dame had Coach Diaco, obviously. And he's now in Lincoln, and his defense is coming together. What are your thoughts on Coach Diaco from your coverage of his past teams?
I've known Bob for years, and he was right up the road from me here in Connecticut. Awesome defensive coordinator. The spot he was put in at UConn as a head coach probably wasn't fair to him because of how much has to be overcome there with recruiting and knowing the conference realignment situation they got themselves in. But he can coach as well as anybody can coach defense in the country. And I think they're going to be in really good hands.
Joe Tessitore with us. Joe, enjoy your time in Lincoln. Thanks for your time here with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
Such a pleasure. Can't wait to get out there and call this fight with Bud Crawford.
Joe, take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Joe Tessitore with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, ABC, ESPN, Mr. College Football Playoff, and of course, ESPN Boxing. Many of you remember Joe Tess's thoughtfulness and his words and his time at the Colts kicking camp. And the day after Sam passed, his sharing of Sam's message to so many. So there's a lot of Nebraska connection with Joe Tessitore, and I didn't know he was neighbors with Coach Diaco down the road in Connecticut. So that was pretty cool. And this, you know, I mean, the Tess effect, man, he goes to the big-time events, big-time games, and a great rundown there of just how much respect and love he has for Bud Crawford. And Tess has been doing boxing forever. And the ability for Crawford, and I mean, I'll watch boxing. I'm not brilliant at it. But I, when he talks switch hitting, and if you have enough power, if you have as much power from left to right, and you can just do whatever you want to your opponent, you know, that's why you're going to be holding four belts for Crawford. And in a year, Joe Tess thinks it's going to be Pacquiao and Bud, which would be awesome. We'll talk Nebraska football impressions from camp. What's Nebraska do at wide receiver? Can they manage without McQuitty? Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity next. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That was incredible. Joe Tessitore to start off hour two. Big thanks to him. Gary Barnett last hour. And if you missed any part of it, we invite you to log on to HailVarsity.com, get the podcast, can go to the ESPN Lincoln app, and as always, iTunes will have us. Tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com. DrPete.com and magazine. Derek Peterson at DrPete15. You find and follow him on Twitter. Derek, great to speak with you again, man. How's it going?
It's going good, man. I'm just doing something that every journalist loves to do. I'm doing some transcribing right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Part of the job.
Anything? Yeah, no kidding, right? And if I could type or write, I'd help you guys out, but they keep me away from all the all the smart items. Derek, yeah, we were all at practice today, and you know some good and some interesting things came out of practice. That you saw the defense and the offense get to work situationally. The bad part of practice was having to hear Coach Riley talk about the injury news. I know that's part of football, but I want to kind of get your reaction on McQuitty and where Nebraska's wide receiving core goes from here moving forward. Because you were banking, a lot of us were anyway, on some of these young kids contributing, not having to be the man, but maybe be a solid third option. How's Nebraska deal with this moving forward?
Right. I was actually just writing about this, too. You know, you've got Stanley Morgan and Demonier Pearsonell that are still there that are going to be kind of your stalwarts in that rotation. But, I mean, kind of going on down, Nebraska really going into this season was banking on those two guys not getting hurt, and they were banking on somebody else in the wide receiver group just kind of bursting onto the scene out of nowhere. McQuitty had a really good chance to be that guy just because of his size. He's 6 foot, 195 pounds. I heard so many people throughout camp just say he looks like a Big Ten receiver. And so losing him is a big blow. Now you've got, I think, six scholarship receivers left, including Morgan and Pearsonell. And so the other guys haven't caught a pass. Keen Williams coming over from Fresno State, he caught a couple passes at Fresno State, but nobody else scholarship-wise on the roster has any kind of production to show. So I'll be really interested to see who steps up. Gabe Ron? Is that how you pronounce his last name? Still learning how to pronounce it.
No, you're good. Gabe Ron.
Yeah. He was the first receiver on the field in the slot today when they sent the first team out. He sounds like he's a guy that coaches are pretty high on. It might be somebody to watch. Obviously, you've got Tyjon Lizzie and J.D. Spielman as the young speedsters, but they really need someone that is a no-name right now to step up and be a big contributor.
Let's talk Lindsay here, because he's the other young pup that we think will see time. Has he wowed you? Have you been blown away by him? Are you kind of holding back to see how things actually happen in game time versus practice? Where's your thought process at with Lindsay?
I think I'll hold back a little bit on Lindsay just because of the fact that he's a true freshman. We don't really know how he's going to be whenever the bright lights are shining. But I think one of the most important things with Lindsay to note right now is that if you watch him in camp, wide receivers coach Keith Williams is in his ear constantly, like every single play, showing him how to do you know, these little different techniques or trying to get some of the smaller details refined in his game. And I think that's the most important thing to look at when you see him, because that, to me, shows an investment in him as a solid member of this group moving into the season, and they really expect big things of him. And so I think that's a really kind of important thing to focus on, because he's soaking it all up, and he's got a really good relationship with Keith from what we've heard. And, you know, I think he's going to be he's not going to have a big season. I mean, he's a freshman, but I think he'll be a solid contributor for them and a guy that Tanner Lee can kind of rely on.
Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and follow him on Twitter at DrPete15. Now, Derek, let's spend a second on the offensive line. And watching and kind of listening to Cav afterwards, there was some frustration not only with the center exchange with quarterback, but there's still a work in progress trying to protect off the edge with some of those blitzes you see in the 3-4, and that's good practice for them. They did the situational work on third and long as your shadows at the goal line. Have you seen improvement, and are you confident the O-line can kind of come along, or are you still thinking that, you know what, there'll be some bumps and bruises this year with it just because there's there's not been the consistency you need. Are you feeling better about the O-line going into week two?
I definitely think there'll be bumps and bruises throughout the season. But I think there are a couple things that are working in their favor that will be positives as we get closer to the season. The first thing is just going up against Diaco's defense. It's something that is, I mean, it's new for the defense learning it, but it's also something that's new for the offense that's been practicing against a different scheme for most of their time there. So I think going up against that new look and seeing all these different packages, and I think that that's going to help them as they move forward. And I also think Nick Gates talked about this a couple weeks ago, how these guys have been together for a while. They've got some experience playing together and playing alongside each other, and I think that that can help them. I think there's definitely still a lot of questions on the line, and I don't really know if we can confidently say what they're going to be like this season, but I think they have the potential to kind of keep getting better as camp moves along. And that seems to be their motto. It's just Tanner told us today that their motto is just day by day. Just keep improving, going back to the film room and looking at ways that they can get better each day. So,
your eyes tell you what? Who's the number two quarterback?
I don't know. I made this comment today. And it's funny, me being kind of the new guy on the beat, I've said a couple things over the last couple weeks, and somebody's been like, oh, that's funny. We thought the exact same thing back at the spring game. So me not seeing the spring game, I was sitting watching them do their little mini scrimmage this afternoon, and O'Brien went, and I was, I don't really know. And then Jebbia, is that how you pronounce his last name, Jebbia?
Yep, yeah. Jebbia.
Yeah, he went up and was just throwing the ball around and hitting all of his targets, and I was thinking to myself, if this kid was O'Brien's size, he'd have already been named the backup.
Yeah.
I think there's a battle going on. There's a very real battle going on right now for that backup spot, but just because one of them is so much bigger than the other one. Jebbia really needs time where he's not playing to add some weight and add some size. But it sounds like they don't know who the backup is going to be. And it really makes you wonder how close the starting quarterback competition was.
Amen. Thank you. I mean, finish it out, you know, but Lee had it. I look at O'Brien too, because I'll watch him throw, and I'm not disgusted by it. I think he's got a strong throw. He hits his spots. Yeah. He has some touch when they're doing those one-on-ones, the fades to the end zone. The guy can play and the guy can throw. But the wow factor you get, though, is, you know, Jebbia should be surfing, bro. I mean, he's so young, and he looks teenagerish, and I get that because he is one. But the processing that goes on between his ears and the way he gets the ball out is pretty impressive, and that's what I go
it's
to.
Impressive, yeah.
I mean, it's you just go, okay, if he's this good this soon, think how good he could become with X number of years, and then POB's been here for a while, but I mean, he's thick and he can still throw the ball. I don't think there's a bad option, but I think it is pretty tight. I mean, you've just had probably a few more turnovers, tipped balls, stuff that isn't all on the quarterback happen to Jebbia this fall camp.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Derek, we'll wrap up here. Derek Peterson with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PD15 on Twitter. Follow him. Great stuff. The running backs, and we spent some time with this with Gary Barnett and Mikhail Wilbon spent time talking about this, but the check down element, some fans can remember back to the Marlon Lucky era and yawn about checking down to the running back, but Wilbon went a little more in depth about just the different routes that they can run and the options they have based on the defense. Do you expect a Nebraska receiver, a Nebraska running back to be the number three receiver, leading receiver this year, or do you think a wideout keeps that spot? Or do you think there'll be enough yards accumulated by somebody out of the backfield to really do damage, not only each game, but cumulatively for a statistic this season?
You know what I'll say on that? I'll go a little off book. I'll say Tyler Hoppus is your third leading receiver.
Okay, so you're going to say the tight ends get more touches than the running backs. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
And that's more because I think they don't, for right now, from what I know right now, they still haven't found a guy that has separated himself mm-hmm. in the backfield. And I think if that continues, you get into the season, you've got a running back by committee approach. And all four of their guys, Tanner Lee was talking about this earlier, all four of their guys, they feel comfortable putting them in passing situations, all four of those backs. Mm. And, you know, I mean, third leading receiver, that's what, 300-400 yards, 500 yards maybe, depending on how Morgan and DPE play. So I don't know if there's one back that gets 400 yards receiving this season.
About 60 seconds, a little less than. Coming from Oklahoma, that's one thing OU always did well, man, was throwing to the backs out of the backfield. It can really kind of cripple a defense, can it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it helps when you got a big guy rumbling out of the backfield, down the field, though.
Derek, what's coming up on HailVarsity.com? I know you're working on something now. What's the next batch look like that you guys will be posting?
We got a couple things in the works. We've got a Q&A that's coming pretty soon that I'm working on transcribing right now. I've got a feature that I'm working on right now that I'm kind of excited about. It's turning out pretty nicely. So that'll be something. I don't want to give away too much on that, but I'm excited about that.
That's good.
So we got a couple things in store for the rest of our preseason coverage.
That'll be awesome. Derek Peterson, please read him and follow him on HailVarsity.com and magazine at DrPD15. Good stuff. Derek, we'll catch up soon. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Sounds good. Thanks, brother.
There he is, Derek Peterson. He is not going to give it away to you. You got to log on HailVarsity.com or follow him on Twitter. Good hour. Derek Peterson's money. Joe Tessitore's money. Wonderful. A quick timeout. We'll relax shortly. A little spa lady action. And then Coach Kavanaugh sounding grumpy. That's on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Derek Peterson, Dr. PD15 of Hail Varsity. Joe Tessitore will be in for the Crawford and Dongo fight. And when they're done fighting, they will slip into a hot tub and relax after how many long rounds. And if they're smart, they'll get caught up with Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. Deb, the fair's almost here. How are you?
Oh, I know it. I'm thinking the same thing. 2 weeks from tomorrow, the fair starts. So, our life kind of revolves around the state fair. It's such a big deal for us. So we've got the trucks all ready to go. We're bringing truckloads of spas to the fair. So just as always, we'll be a huge presence out there. We're one of the Nebraska State Fair sponsors. This is our 27th year. So this is our big event. Lots of great deals. And we already know what we're going to do for the State Fair as far as specials. So my suggestion is come in, get that spa bought, get it delivered, then go to the fair. When you get home, your feet will hurt, your back will hurt. You will be so thankful that you have a spa to hop into.
Just in time for football season. And Deb, I got to hear about this setup because at the fair, Deb the Spa Lady will be there. Home Innovation Spas will be there. And any spa you want will be there. Size for That's big or right. small. And the setup, man, I mean, it's massive. This showcase you're going to have is going to be impressive, isn't it?
It really is. And we have two locations out there. We have a location inside the exhibition hall. Then we have a huge tent set up with lots of spas outside, too. So either location, you'll find us. We'll have all kinds of models to choose from, all the colors and the models. So stop in and see us. And if you can't make it out to the fair, stop in one of our locations and we'll honor that same price.
20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, an Omaha location. But you can see Deb, Central Nebraska, Western Nebraska, wherever you are in the great state of Nebraska, Deb will be out there at the fair for you. Deb, someday I'm going to come visit you at the spa. I'll surprise you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get you a corn dog, like one of those 8-foot-long corn dogs. I'll get a corn dog, and we'll sit and we'll sit in a hot tub together and have a corn dog.
I tell you, Chris, I just think that's a plan.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
I'll wear a shirt. Okay. It'll be okay.
I'm in.
There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Deb, you're awesome. Congrats on another year at the fair, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week about getting ready for the fair.
You bet. Okay, Chris.
There she is.
A lot.
Uh-huh. Deb the Spa Lady with us.
Bye-bye.
Open Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. How cool would that be? Huh? It's time to relax. You got corn dog in one hand, remote in the other, because Deb has those floating remote spas. And then after you're done at the fair, you can get a swim spa and work off the oil change. God, fair food's awesome. Huh? It's, Colton's like, yeah. It's a close second behind Funyuns. This very, very close second behind Funyuns. Okay, let's talk offensive line. No direct relationship there between Funyuns and offensive line. Coach Kavanaugh, all right? He told you about Bo Wilson last hour. Cut 12 here. Outside protection. How are them tackles doing against the edge rush and the trickeration of the 3-4?
I think we just got to keep working, obviously. We didn't handle this third down twist game in there with a backer and the A-gap and the DN coming around. So that's what camp's all about. We just got to keep growing and keep working. I mean, every day you see different things. So, I mean, we're installing, they're installing, and it's great work.
It is. You're going to get better by having bad moments. You learn from them, you get better. And more from Coach Kavanaugh here. On the O-line, I asked him, you know, what do you like in general? He just told us that had moments of frustration off the edge. What are you good with so far with this group?
Pretty excited about this group, you know. We just got to stay healthy. We're a physical group. I think we're a pretty athletic group, you know. We're doing a few new things, which is fun because of that athletic ability. We just got to keep growing every day.
Okay. Let's touch on that athleticism. And forgive me, I don't pretend to know what it's like to be 6'5", three bills. And this is an awful assumption. Yes, they're athletes. They're athletes. I think guys like Searles, and I think they're athletic. You got to be. I see him, and I go, that guy's athletic, especially at the tackle spot. And it's not fair, but when I think of the interior guys, I don't think of them as athletic, and that's wrong. They are. But just based on position and stereotype, tackle's got to have great feet. The guard's got to just be short and heavy and just go maul people. Well, in this offense, that isn't the case. Your guard's got to be athletic. Your center's got to be athletic. And it can really enhance your offense. And Coach Kavanaugh touched on that a little bit by having offensive linemen that are athletic, what it can do for this scheme and offense. Cut number 14.
Big time. I mean, you know, hopefully that'll improve the screen game. Obviously, some of the runs that we're doing are going to be different than we've done. So it's kind of fun to have that.
There are some things they haven't done in the run game. I mean, do you have guards that can pull and get out there and kind of pin down and kick out? Think of Wisconsin on 3rd and 8 out of the shotgun, for the love of God. What'd they do? They pulled and pinned. Kick out, here's a 20-yard gain, sayonara. And then in the screen game, that's delicate with those guys, because in the screen game, they can kind of go graze. They get downfield, and you've just not had a great screen game arsenal the last several years at Nebraska. The last guy who could throw a screen pass at Nebraska was Zach Taylor. They attempted it. Sometimes it got done, but it wasn't something they went to a lot. It takes touch. Totally does. It's not an easy throw to make because of the timing. But if it is timed up and you have an athletic group of offensive linemen, it can be game-changing. And if you're worried about that offensive line, as we just started this discussion point about off the edge, the Tennessee game, pressure from the edge, you know what's going to slow down pressure real quick? You get burnt on some screens or draws. It will. Just when you think you're ready to maul them, and it's 3rd and 13, here's a screen or a draw, and your defensive ends are upfield, out of position, and now that 11-man defensive group is down to 9 or 8. Or you get caught in a blitz in a screen. It can work out great for the defender if they blitz to the right spot, or awfully. Just a seam to take to the house. We'll wind down a Thursday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now. And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good one today. Big thanks to Joe Tessitore. Going to be in town for Crawford in Dongo, and we'll see him this year for Nebraska football. Big thanks to him for spending time with us. Derek Peterson was great on Nebraska football with HailVarsity.com. And how about Gary Barnett? A little screen game and athletic offensive line chatting. And he did talk about signing a bra strap in Iowa. Iowa City, to be exact. It's in reference to that ESPN.com article. Craziest thing a coach has signed. Now, we know Buki signed a couple of babies the last two unofficial visits. And you know what? We're going to just forge forward. We'll get Leach on next week. We'll ask about how big that bra was he had to sign. The print and the quotes don't do him justice. Because Leach, listen, when he talks about Cuba and visiting and things he probably would have liked to have signed in Cuba, I mean, the guy's highly entertaining, obviously, but I just need a play-by-play on this from him about what he signed. Because the story is, like, four kids talked their mom, and remember, this is West Texas, Texas Tech, having Coach Leach sign their bra. That was the story. That was hilarious. I don't know what's – that's funny and not super unique. But it is. I could just see his eyes getting real big and going, what? And it's huge. It's a parachute. He ventured to say a couple volleyballs could fit. I'm sure Switzer's got something as far as the craziest thing he's ever had to sign. And then there was Coach Barnett. And that was the rivalry. Iowa and Northwestern, like, wanted to smoke each other. And he gets to Iowa City, and there you have it, a bra strap. Now, here's a question. Was it one of those thin ones, the thin bra strap, or was it one of those super thick granny? Because you just need, as you, I guess, I don't know. I'm not going Doubtfire here. I could. We're talking back support. All right. Caller 4 gets Ribfest tickets, 2 of them. Colton, you're the doctor. A pair of Ribfest tickets. Caller 4, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 5, a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs. Is this for Sunday? Sunday Salt Dog tickets, Sunday Fun Day at Haymarket. Caller 5 gets the 4-pack of VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs on Sunday. Caller 4, Ribfest tickets. Caller 5, Salt Dogs tickets. And give Colton a shout, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, Ribfest tickets. Caller 5, Salt Dog tickets. and can get that phone call in now to be a winner. 800-825-5865. And get you hooked up with that. Tomorrow on the show, Coach Mark Manning, Husker Wrestling. They are awesome. They're tremendous. Coach Manning's a good dude. We'll get caught up with him. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. Brandon Vogel. Loaded up. Podcast available, HaleVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Caller 4, caller 5. Goodies for you. 800-825-5865. 4 o'clock. Talk to you tomorrow.